Away.
Today is March.
This is March 21st, 1991. I'm Lois Lee, and this is Karen Beach, and we are interviewing today Blanche Durst. Blanche was just telling us about the jail that was built in Tualatin. Blanche, about what year was that jail built?
Well, I would say it was in the 30s, sometime in the 30s, because I moved back about 42, and it wasn't there then.
Do you remember it being built, or was it built when you came to Tualatin?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't there when I was a child living there.
I see.
It was built in between.
I see. It had to be built in the early 30s? In the 20s?
Well, it could have been. But
now, what year did you move away from Tualatin as a child?
Well, I was 7 years old then. So that would have been about 1914. Because I was born in 1907.
So you were away from Tualatin from 1914 until?
About 1942.
42.
Then I moved back.
Okay. Well, now Drusilla was in school in the 30s, but you weren't living in Tualatin?
And I was living in Tualatin.
Okay, so you must have come
34,
back.
Yes, it was.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So I was going to say, she went to grade school.
Yeah.
Graduated.
Right. Yeah. All right.
So you came back to Tualatin.
In the late 30s.
Right. Well, we heard about the jail from somebody, and I think it was Fritz Doffel, because they lived right in the property and the house right at the corner. And he said it was right where the road that would be in front of the Mack house, right where it came out to Tualatin Road. He said it was right across.
Right across the road, yes.
And can you describe the jail, what it looked like?
No, it had small windows on each end, I know that, and a center door, but it was never painted.
No.
It was the raw boards, and of course the sawmill was closed at that time, so it couldn't have been part of the original. Lumber, like the old houses, where they were all lumber from the original sawmill, that was Smith's mill. That was why there's so much brickwork there, because there was a brickyard where the metal, where that little church is.
Yes.
And that was going when I was a child.
Was it?
They actually made brick and baked them there and all of that.
We do have some pictures of the old brickyard. Of course, it's a big, long building with all smokestacks.
Did they employ a lot of people, you know?
Well, that was the only employment outside of farm labor or the onions, you know, all your planting and pulling and chopping them.
Was the sawmill running, and the brickyard at the same time?
It was running when I left, yes, in 1914.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Because John L. Smith died in 1910. And I guess the enterprises did go on for a while.
I don't remember him. I remember Mrs. Boone, whose house they moved, you know, over by Swicks. And at one time, there was a bake shop in that.
In that house?
Yes, in that house. And, of course, the sidewalk was wooden, like a little bridge-like.
Yes. Well, there was, and even in your time, there was a trestle, not a trestle, but the road was sort of trestle over.
So it wasn't as level and high as it is now.
Yeah.
And then that made the sidewalk, because the water, high water always came up, you know, twice a year.
Oh, I see.
That's why some of those old houses were built up, but they're 3 feet tall up high.
I see.
Because of the backwater river, because when my mother and grandmother were still living there, by water was so high that Charlie Roberts was in a boat, rowboat, to take him out of the house.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I always said that she strained so much that help hasten her death, I think. Who was this thing, you know, putting trunks up on chairs and such as that?
Yeah, who was this, your mother or your grandmother?
It was my mother and grandmother. I was born before Mother Mary Hedges.
Now, Blanche, tell us, who was your mother? What was your mother's name?
At that time, it was Ethel Otterstrom.
Okay.
Her maiden name was Shaver.
Okay.
And the Shaver family donation is what's now Durham's sewage station, mm-hmm. and part of the high school. That was his donation.
And then what was your grandmother's name?
My grandmother's name was Emma Alice Cummings Shaver. She was a Cummings.
She married a Shaver.
Which Shaver did she marry? Which Shaver?
Charles. Charles L.
Charles Shaver was your
grandfather. S-H-A-V-E-R.
So your grandmother was a Cummings.
She was a Cummings.
And your grandfather was a Shaver. So
yes.
Side by side.
My entire family is both of them.
Yes.
And of course, Mrs. Mack was a Cummings. And
well, she was. I didn't know that. Okay. And then, so you really are connected. Then your stepfather was a Hedges.
Yes. He was Ralph Hedges.
Ralph Hedges. That was John and
it was Clyde and Ralph Hedges. It was just the two boys.
Okay, and they were the two sons of the pioneers, John and Catherine.
No.
Oh, okay.
They were grandsons, John and Catherine.
Okay.
John Jr.
Okay.
And Rachel.
Okay.
Is that correct? Were the parents of
Clyde. Her name wasn't Rachel. Her name was Molly. Ollie Hedges.
Oh, right.
And that was Ralph's wife?
That was Ralph's mother's name.
Ralph's mother's name, yes.
And they used to live up on the farm when they were first married.
Now, where did you live as a child in Twilight?
What is now the apartments on the corner of Gulf Course. There was a little house there, and then the others, there was Lad's house.
Yeah.
It was a third house, I forget.
Is that Barn Grover? Did Barn Grovers
moved in the house that we
used to
have. Oh, I see. And there was a third house. So there were three houses side by side?
There used to be three houses.
Okay.
And then that was the church that burned down.
Yeah, behind you. Yeah. Do you remember when that church burned down?
No. It burned down while I was quite young. Because I remember.
After 1914.
Somewhere in there.
Okay. It was still.
Because when I was a child, about 5 years old, I know the church was still there. Because that was my first Christmas program. And
so you went to that church.
And Rasmack put a little set of dishes on the Christmas tree for me. And when I heard Blanche's name, I was going to climb right over the pews.
Oh, set of dishes. Were they a tea set, kind of like?
I had it for years, and in all my moving, I lost it somewhere.
Oh. Because Johnny Simino, or was it, who was it, remembered a Christmas program at that
Mike
church?
Mike Schmoble.
Did no. Now,
see, that was the only church that was in Tualatin at that time.
Right. Now, it was still when you moved away in 1914.
Well, I'd say it was because I had started the first grade at the school.
Well,
that was the school where, at that time, they had the first grade to high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, high school. That's right, all in that one building. So that was, now, do you remember the second church in Tualatin that was right on the corner?
It used to be by the young Sagers house, where the brickyard was torn down. It's still a church now, but it was a store, a clothing store. So.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's mentioned. But before that, back in 1914, when that little church burned down, then they built another church just a little bit south of that, just where the road before you get to Mac's house, before you get to the jail. There was no church there?
I don't remember.
No. Probably when she was gone, because it burned down, didn't it, in about 26?
Yeah, it burned out. So when was it built? When did the first church, the Congregational Church, burn?
Well, I always heard that the Congregational Church burned down in 1910. But you're saying it was still there in 1914.
Well, no, I'm not saying that it was still there, because that part I really don't remember. I would say I must have been 4 or 5 at that first Christmas that you remember program.
But you don't ever remember the other church then?
No.
Okay.
But now that church was almost in your backyard. And it didn't burn down. I mean, if it burned down when you were there between 1970 and 1980, and it didn't burn down at that time.
No, so it was sometime after.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say.
This is a hard thing to piece together, just little bits and pieces of various memories. We
and
never
on
fit that together.
That same little road that went up to the church, on the right side of us, where the slough was.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The Elray slough.
Wishes.
Oh, yeah. Wishes, yeah. Well, let's see. So you were there until you were 7.
I think so.
So you went like 2 years to the grade school there?
No, I only went start. I was just starting in the first grade we moved.
I see. Back to this little jail. I finished getting the picture in my mind. How big was it? There's like one small room.
Well, it really wasn't too large. That time of dimensions didn't mean anything
of
course. But I was in it after it became a little ice cream parlor thing.
I see.
And, as I remember, at least it was larger in my living room here going in, because they had a counter and the regular stools, that time.
That's fascinating, that.
Yeah, I never heard that before.
No. Do you have any idea who ran the confectionery?
No, I don't remember, but I know we were visiting, and my grandfather, or maybe it might have been my father, because I wasn't driving, of course, at that time. Mother never learned really to learn to drive, so my father was still living. So that had to be before 19. I graduated in 25 at high school, since he was still living, I would be 23 or 24 in there. It was still there because I thought I was pretty old. And they went up, gave me money, and I went over.
Yeah.
Ice cream soda, I remember that.
That's a nice
and of course, years ago in Ed Robinson's, he had a counter, and ice cream on that type of thing.
Now, do you remember in the park, right over there, looking over the river, an old dance hall?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
Yes.
Now, that was there when you came back in the 30s, was it?
I don't know. The dance hall wasn't there, but the swimming tanks were still there.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what happened to the dance hall, because that went down. You went to the dances, there was the one. I was married at that time, and when we'd be visiting, we always called her Sis. That was my grandmother's sister. And we stayed all night, and then we'd go down there to the dance hall. I was quite a drawing. At that time, and of course the big to-do things when I was a child and later was always the 4th of July celebration.
Okay, in the park?
Yes.
Yeah.
They had the concessions, an old merry-go-round. It wasn't a carousel, it was the kind that a horse drew it.
Oh, really?
And they'd walk around, and then all these gears would throw the seats kind of out like the old Mary mix-up is now.
Oh, but a horse pulled it around.
It's horseback.
For goodness sake.
And they always had speakers.
Really?
And music, singing.
Oh,
that game.
Well, yeah, all just local people, or would they bring people out?
Like, well, they came from Wilsonville and Sherwood. That was even before Sherwood started their own celebrations in their park. Well, the railroad track at that time.
Who would, like, who would sell things? Who would have concessions?
Well, the concessions was just like a sideshow. Mm-hmm. They'd go around to different places in the country. It wasn't the local people.
Oh, they travel around, and they just have to be
a carnival, really. Just,
yeah, in the order of a carnival, yes.
And they would have, like, games and things?
Well,
games of chance.
Not too many types of games other than the shooting gallery and a few of those type of things. But, and the darts and all that, they'd get a prize or something.
And this is the 4th of July.
This is 4th of July.
So these big
concessions. And of course, one of the other big drawing cards for people to come into Tualatin and celebrate was always the baseball games.
Local teams?
Oh, yes, it was real good. That's how Jan Baker it was professional. And Del Baker, he was a professional baseball man from Sherwood. And at that time, he started with Tualatin, and then they got their own team with the Sherwood.
Yeah, somebody else told us that. No,
they came as far as Wesleyan and Sundays. This was even before Clowes used to have the beer sandwich place. And they were playing lots of baseball then when Clowes had the barbershop.
Clowes.
That's where the pub now
is. Yes, right. Yeah.
Because
right.
Mr. Clowes was the barber.
Right.
And she ran the sandwiches.
Right. And they were involved with the baseball thing, did you say?
And then after the baseball, of course, Clowes had to say it all.
Oh, I see.
Because I worked there at the time.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Now, the baseball diamond was in the park?
Originally, yes. And then afterwards, it was down where the...
Where the herb and
dog
stuff. Yeah. Yeah, we have a good picture of that.
Let's go back just a minute, Blanche, to the 4th of July celebrations.
Uh-huh.
Now, what did people do for food? Did they bring their own picnics, or people sell food?
Most of them brought their own picnics.
And did any organizations sell food?
No, not at that time.
They didn't have lemonade stands?
That was later. That was more when the crawfish festival started.
Yeah. So this is just a city. It wasn't any group within the city that put this on. This was just a city-wide event.
They didn't even have a... Well, I don't know. They probably might have had some kind of a committee that brought these processions in and that kind of thing.
Now, would they have speakers? Would it be very patriotic with flags and speakers?
More on, really, than patriotic, more on the political.
Oh, really?
Yes. And but the singing was patriotic.
Now, would that be local people? Or?
Yes, that was local people.
I see.
Nyberg should probably tell you a little more about that, because Ruby, at one time, on the 4th of July, she sang songs and national anthem. I remember her. Of course, later on, when Clayton was running for office, county commissioner, and that was when they had the parades and that. Going to the park.
Was that before the Crawfish Festival?
No, that would be during.
Okay.
I see.
Yeah, it'd be as late as when they started the Crawfish, yes. But Ruby, I remember, that was before Crawfish Festival and singing. Because my uncle at that time, he was 7 years older than I am, he would be.
Was
7 years to mine, and I'm 83, so
worse than I am.
Now, who was he? What was his name?
And that was Doris Shaver.
Oh, look at the picture.
He had the picture of the horse. That was the buggy horse that my granddad bought from Eastern Arkansas. He was really a beautiful animal. I've been trying to write my family history, and I take each relative by itself, and then the doings of the 12 times such as that, and I call one of the horse and buggy days, because it was my highlight of my grandmother ever taking me a tour from school, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course they sold school buses and everybody walked. Down the swamp from Nyberg's, way down, below even the hospital. And I remember they were brother and sister, Allspaw, I think their names were, I don't know if they're Russian ancestors or not, because we did have quite a few Russian people on the Durham Road. But they had to walk that distance to the school, and they used to wear their boots and change to shoes afterwards. How cruel children can be to other children. They made fun of them because they had to wear the boots. Well, they couldn't take their shoes because it would just ruin coming up the swamp.
Sure.
And I often thought about how cruel children can be. Including my daughter at the time, when she was going to school, I was working at Clouds, and they liked, because she stabilized low matter cloud, and she matured quite young, and they were kind of wondering about it. And she chased her home one day with a garter snake, and I'm just desperately scared of snakes, and I'm like, they were holy heck, we're doing that. I said, well, you would have scared that girl into the spasms or something, you know. She didn't think it was very bad. I did. Well, the reason why I am so scared of snakes. See, my grand folks had a little house where Cecil Dunbar used to live, across from her folks.
Yeah.
That was their first farm.
Oh, now, what was their name?
That was Shaver.
Shaver?
Charles Shaver. His wife. That's not. And they used to be big fir trees.
Is this where Cecil lived in the house of us? I'm not quite caught up with this. We're talking now about where Cecil Nyberg used to live. And who was the Shaver relationship?
That was my grandfather, father, and mother.
Okay. Charles and
Emma Shaver.
Okay. And they lived where? That's
Common Share.
They lived where? The Cecil right across?
Yes, right across the Nyberg's buggy.
Okay.
They used to raise onions down on that swamp.
The Shavers did?
All the people did.
Okay.
Because it went up, clear up, started at Hedges' place and went to Galvis and Reds.
Sewage
outfits, the one that tore the log cabin down, but I never did.
original Longhand?
It was there, and really, there was no reason to tear it down because their water holes didn't need that.
Yeah.
It would have been a wonderful historical thing. So, see, that was the donation, and that was Adam Chambers. Adam Chambers' donation. And it was a typical log cabin at that time. And the center front wall was the doorway. The windows were at the end of the house. I only remember right now one window in the, which would be north. See, it's facing the door broke. And it was just one room, their bed, the rest was living room, dining room, and of course at that time, all the mattresses people slept on at that time was ticking with straw. And they had a lean-to built on the south side. And that's where all the children, the last family, they had 13 children. My granddad was 12. No, he was the oldest.
And they lived in that one room cabin with a lean-to. Good. Long.
And I thought of it Sunday when we had the speaker there talking about trees. That tree had been left up. It was a cedar tree from the distance halfway between the log house and the present dirt road. And it was a huge tree. It could have been one of these trees.
Oh. And they cut it down to the dunes.
Yes,
the
it was. When they took that property over from the cement. And his donation went there to the river.
Yeah.
Of course, in those days, it was kind of funny when they left their property. The well that all lending children at that time was to get this, and that. Then there was an undivided portion that they all had an interest in.
Oh, boy.
I was talking to Leonard Pope yesterday, and he's been searching the records and things, and he found it was another. Finally, it was given to the woman that all the ancestors had agreed that this is hers. Now, I couldn't quite catch who he was talking
about. Oh, I know.
Up around Avery's room somewhere, is it?
He did show me a deed that all the Cummins people signed giving the Mack house to Mary.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, that might have been what
signed,
I was talking
they signed
about.
Off so that she could.
But at that time, she was dead, and my grandmother's dad was Thompson, J.R. Thompson. And he was administrator of the estate. And off the record, this is so to speak, that's how Feathered Deer Nest was him being an administrator of the Ed Cummings of the estate.
Well, you know, he was also the administrator of my great-grandfather's estate. Henry Martinassi, when he died, he appointed J.R.C. Thompson to be the administrator and guardian of Julius. And so I found all the records in an abstract, and when it was turned over to Julius, there wasn't near as much.
So I'm
wondering. I shouldn't say it because we don't
have to. Funny thing is, if you trace back far enough,
now, how was Thompson related to you, or was he?
Thompson? Well, it would be through my grandmother, see, because his wife was my grandmother's aunt. Same as she was a sister to Mrs. Fuller that lived on the opposite street of Coles.
Yeah, the Green House.
Where the, and I think they have the health or something about something in that house.
Oh, there.
Well, started one.
Well, should we think of the, there's a brilliant, that's Chris Fuller's
house was right there.
Fuller's house was across. across the street from Granny Cole.
It's Benjamin.
Yeah, it's Benjamin.
See, I remember all those because Grandma called us, they called her. And she's the one that gave me a quilt pattern that's got to be started on the quilts. That's how.
How old were you?
It was called a belt. That was after I came back. So it was in the 30s.
Now when you came back, you lived in that little white house just west of
Bobby Coles. Well, when I came back, my grandmother and father were living next to Thacker's.
Okay.
In that house.
The neighbor room.
Yeah. But it was one of the houses that was built out. And of course, that time they had the chick sales and all. And I often thought that that was one of the reasons that there was so much sickness in Tualatin, was because of their sewage and wells so close.
What did you say about chick sales?
House door toilets.
Is that what they're called?
I never heard that. Chick sales, like chickens, chick.
You know, it always had the moon.
Yeah.
Right.
But
right.
Chick? How do you spell chick?
C-H-I-C-K.
Just like a chicken.
And sales, S-A-L-E-S?
Chick sales.
Why did they call it that?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, well, that's juicy.
So you had the outhouses, because it was all low level, it flooded a lot, so it must have been a high water.
And I often thought, because, you know, they...
Well, now tell us about the sickness.
They had so many things that seemed like there were so many people ill there. And they had an epidemic, that's before we moved, of, they used to call it infantile paralysis, which is polio.
Polio. Right.
And
you had an epidemic of that?
Many of the young folks that time died of that polio.
In Tualatin?
Yes.
Really? Now this is before you came back, so this was like in the late 30s?
This was before I moved away.
Before you moved away?
Yes, because my uncle got it. And at that time it was Dr. Finson. He had a little office on the other side of the meat market. It used to be Ed Robinson's store and then the meat market and then that little tiny building. Because he had his main office at Tiger. No, he was the only doctor at that time.
There was a doctor.
And Vincent.
Yeah.
And he told my grandmother and take hot packs and then massaging. And she and her, was their younger sister, but her next to her younger sister, Dora Cummings, she never married. And they worked on him 24 hours a day. They take turns. Mm. And he had just a high instep. You wouldn't notice it, except when he'd get tired, and then he kind of favored that. Or when he had his shoes off, he walked on his toes. Mm. He was just a little bit shorter. But I always said that they're massaging him and his heart. Hot packs is what saved him. Being crippled.
And what was his name?
And so many at that time were very severely crippled. I believe there was a guy, Berger, who was in a wheelchair. And I can't remember all the old names, but it seemed like every family, that, and mostly the men, the boys.
Yeah. And this would be around 1910 to 1914.
I would say it was between, because I was big enough to walk down to my grandmother's place, and they were afraid, because I was warm when Grandpa went into his room and he had water there and I had a drink, and they were scared to death, maybe that I might get the germ, but it couldn't stay on me.
Now, what was your uncle's name that they massaged? That
was Doris, D-O-R-R-I-S.
Oh, that's Doris Shaver.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's the one
that
had
the horse.
Okay.
Dora Cummins worked on him?
Dora Cummins was my grandmother's
How old
sister.
Was Doris when he had the polio?
Well, if I was 6 years old, well, he was about 13.
I see. So a lot of children at that time had it, and a lot died, you say, in Tualatin.
It was a regular epidemic.
That one year, or every year, or just?
No, just that one year.
Which would have been 19?
Somewhere in the 1913 or so.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's interesting.
I can find that in some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
All the Tigard papers that your mother used to write for, I lost some of them, but what I had left I gave to Drusilla. And your father and I used to argue. Sometimes I'd call him up. Somebody would write something, not your mother's items, but something else, and they'd quote something. And I'd say, Arf, you didn't tell him that, did you? Oh, no, he says, I'm going to call him and tell him about the mistake they made. But I can remember your mother and father going to dances. She lived towards, if I remember correctly, she lived at that time.
Chapman,
that's it. And towards, I'd say, as we were going to Wesleyan, and she lived in there somewhere.
Yeah, she lived up in Stafford.
Uh-huh.
Well, where did they go to dances?
At the school gym.
Oh.
On the hill. You knew that they had partners there.
Oh, yeah. My folks.
You know, the funniest thing, I sometimes leave in dreams, because I was away at the time, and I dreamt that they were going to convert those into apartments.
Hmm.
One time I came over, and by golly, they had. So I really, sometimes, I used to leave, because one other time, when I was living on the farm, we hadn't moved yet. We were going to leave the farm and move into Vancouver. And I had the picture of the house and the rooms and everything when we were looking for a place to rent. That was the same.
Really?
Oh, gosh. About years before.
Oh, gosh.
Now, when you say you lived on the farm, was that in Tualatin?
No.
Okay.
That was after we met in Washington.
I see.
And my grandfather thought that swamp would be good for onion stew. But the price of onions was way down. All the hard work. So instead of that, he had vegetable garden and lettuce and all that type of stuff. I had a long ways to walk to school at that time. Well, it was almost three miles, 2.5. And I'd go out the railroad track to cut the that time when we moved out to Sifton from going over. They had a ferry running from what is now Janssen Beach over to Vancouver. You could take the streetcar that far and then you had to go the ferry. Well, at that time, they had a ferry that went out, or I mean a streetcar that went out to the end of the line, which was Sifton, where we moved to. I always said it was God's forgotten part of the country. But that's where I graduated from high school. I was afraid. I came from the big city of Tualatin, you know, to go over the farm. Had to go through the trees and things, and they were all boys, and they'd scare me. They'd get behind a tree and do something, you know.
Let me just stop for a minute and just check to be sure this is working. And if it is, that's going to be fine. Back to the houses. Where Sonora Boone lived.
That'd be all the way from Riches down to the other end of town.
Yeah. About how many houses do you remember there were? Were they a lot of them? Or?
Yes, they were quite a few, because they started with the house that Mother moved into, which was Smith's house. that was Bessie Smith's.
Is that right on the corner?
Galbraith.
Okay.
And
which house was that?
That was right on the corner. That'd be the house that was torn down and to be prepared for this civic center. That'd be in the next block from Rich's down east. Remember, they was
Lizzie Robinson's house.
No, across the street from Lizzie's and down the block. About a few years ago, they tore that house down.
Oh, that was the John L. Smith house.
That was it was given to Bessie Smith when she married Don Galbraith, and I think it was a wedding present from
who?
The Smiths.
And was that the White House across the street from where Lizzie Robinson lived?
Yes, right on the corner was Lizzie Robinson, who her husband owned the what's now Rich's.
Right.
And then, that was really a showpiece in itself. Mm-hmm. They had a circular.
Corner tower.
Uh-huh. Sort of. Yeah. And porch was on the one end and one side. And then came the Boone's house.
Okay.
See, the one that is moved to Swick's.
Where did the old folks live then, the old Smiths, Caroline and Leonard? Did they live right on the corner across from Rich's?
I think, if I remember correctly, there was another house east of Robinson's house, going on down towards Cole's. Mm-hmm.
There was an old house that, when I remember, the Lundys lived in.
Oh, that was a little further down.
Oh, further down.
Between Lundys and...
That figures it.
It seems like between Lundys and Ed Robinson. No, not Ed Robinson. Newton.
Yeah, right.
Because Ed Robinson, they lived above their
That's
store.
Their store, that's right.
But they always called him Newt. Mm-hmm. But Newton. Because the other house was given to Boone's. And I'm sure that east of that was John L. Smith's house.
Oh, John L. Smith.
The one that had the brickyard and
all
that, yes.
But he lived east of
I think,
Lizzie and Newt's
I
house.
I think so. Now, I wouldn't be positive about it.
Yeah,
I
never had. Well, let's see.
Say that they lived right in their
The
close.
House that, didn't you and Drusilla live in the little white house across the street? That was torn down really just about 10 years ago.
Yes.
That's where you lived.
That was Bessie Smith Galbraith's
house. I see, okay.
Yes, originally.
Yeah.
Because that's who my mother bought from.
I see.
And then Drusilla and I lived in it, and then later on she and Ralph moved there from the farm.
I see.
Because when they were married, they lived on Nyberg Street. Down from Hannigan's and that, and they were just renting when they first came from Vancouver. And the reason why they moved, my grandmother had a cataract and the doctor didn't recommend surgery. And so she was going blind in that eye. And her two sisters living there, see Mrs. Mack and Dora Cummings, she could visit and walk and be able to see with the one eye very good. And so that's why they moved back. And then, of course, when I divorced, I didn't get a divorce right away. I waited up, maybe straightened out. And then we moved into the house that was next to Thacker's house.
I see.
And Mrs. Thacker is still living. And I used to see her. She was working for Brandon Park Hospital when I was. I worked there 7 years in the gift shop.
Oh, you
and,
did?
She still lives in Lake Oswego.
Right.
Uh-huh.
She used to come to our historical meetings. A couple of times she came.
Yes, she did.
Well,
she travels quite a bit.
Yeah, she does. Radiant Park Hospital, is that old? I guess it is.
He was a teacher at Wallington.
Who was?
Thacker.
Yeah. Okay, this is just not a very good drawing, but here's Rich's. Here's Sweek's place over here, and the Oregon Electric. Here's Rich's. And then, do you remember the feed store being here?
Yes.
Okay, and then there was Klaus.
Yes.
Okay. And then there was a street, and then was the next house, Bessie Smith's father's house.
That's right.
And is that the Smith, is that the house where you lived in, you and?
Yes.
Okay. Now, where do you think, and this is where Lizzie Robinson lived, but where do you think John L. Smith lived?
Lizzie Robinson lived across the street here from Rich's.
Lizzie Robinson?
Yeah, the house with the house with the corner tower, that was
across the street from the store.
Okay, this is the Sweet house.
This is Sweet.
See, this is north.
This is Boone's Ferry right here.
So okay.
This is the Boone house.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to put. There's a street here, Boone's Ferry, and then you've got to have Lizzie's house, and then Boone House, then the creek, and then some more
and
houses.
Then how many more houses do you have past Boone's house?
That's what we want to know.
Yeah.
I think there were two houses beyond the creek before the present building that's there now. Yeah. That I believe there were two houses. Yes, because one fellow was living in it, married Rose Clack. Not Rose. What's the lad girl's name? Is Tom's?
Pat. Irene.
Pat. Well, and her sister, older than she, married this fellow that lived in. I think there was two houses.
Okay.
From the creek.
From the creek on.
To the present.
And there were two or three houses before the creek.
They was Lizzie's and Boone's only.
Okay, so just four houses on that stretch.
That's
okay.
That I remember. No. Then, the entryway to the park was not where it now is.
What was
that way? It's the one that goes straight to the river.
Mm-hmm. Right along the railroad tracks.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that would be going east from the river.
Or going east.
On the left-hand side, say that road would be carried to the river, then the dance hall, and that was to the left, right on the river bank. Mm-hmm. And see, they made wooden tanks.
Yes.
Were they still there when you were swimming?
Well, I never used those. I used the ones at Romer's Rest. But I remember they had floats, we called them, tower tanks.
Well, at Romer's Rest, there was always springs there. That's why so many people drowned.
Good Lord, is that right?
Springs, how do you mean?
Springs in the river.
Yeah.
And you'd hit that if you were hot and swimming, and you'd get a cramp.
Oh, cold springs coming up. Oh, I never heard of that. My goodness.
So
there were drownings there?
Yeah, they were drownings there because the people had come from Portland, so that it was such a good place.
Yes.
And Avalon Park across that. They'd be warm and then hit this cold ice spring.
Mm.
And then they maybe go into cramp when they were too far away.
Yeah. I heard that there was one summer, some kids were weeding onions, and it was a real hot day. As soon as they got off work from weeding onions, they went and jumped into the river and died. And that could have been.
And of course, I can remember old steamboats on.
You can.
Yes, I saw one.
That's when you were just a little child.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They were there that late. They just 19.
I saw it from the railroad tracks down by the sawmill. And, of course, after I came back, A.C. Mack always had a canoe. And so I spent a lot of time. At that time, the river was clear, so there wasn't any sewage in it and stuff. And you could look down and see crawfish in the bottom and be able to catch them. You could eat them there, but of course now, you think get their crawfish elsewhere. And that was a pastime for young folks, catching crawfish and having a crawfish feed. They didn't spice them like that.
Yeah.
They just cooked them in salt water.
Yeah.
Going back to the swimming tanks at the park in Tualatin, who put those tanks up and did they charge money?
They didn't charge anything, but I don't know who put them in, because they were in when I moved back. So it was time that I lived away, because the dance hall was there, because we often go there.
Yeah. Were the swimming tanks right below the dance hall?
A little bit
downstream?
South. Just
okay.
A little bit.
About where that, well, there's a boat ramp there now. What if they're about...
Do they have a boat ramp?
There's a boat ramp now.
That's probably where the tanks used to be. Because it was one place that the bank sloped down.
I see.
They were two swimming tanks, if I remember. Such. One was for the small children, and the other was for the larger people.
Did they have any kind of a dressing room where you could change your clothes there?
Not at that time. Didn't
grow. Going out in the woods or
went behind a tree.
Well, you generally came with your suit on. Maybe you laid around long enough to get halfway dry to put something else on. That's where I first learned to swim.
Right.
I'm not good at it because I haven't done it enough.
Do you remember John L. Smith's wife?
I remember his second wife. That is Gladys Smith and Fred Smith.
Oh, you mean Doc.
Oh, that was Doc, yes.
Yeah, no, go back to John L.
No, I don't remember.
I guess she married someone named Wilkins.
I've heard the name, but I don't know. That was Doc, yes.
What can you tell us about Doc Smith?
Oh, Doc was
fun. Yeah. So tell us about him. Yeah, he had, well, just tell us. You've heard stories.
Yes. Well, I guess John L. was pretty good at that.
tell us what.
Well, the story goes that it seemed like he went on a trip. I don't know if that's when he died or with his wife. They went east.
They did. He was wife.
So that's the way the story goes. He was whatever he was doing and died. That was what they passed around.
Really?
So I don't know.
Well, now I heard that John L. Smith was killed when a cable snapped and hit him in the head.
I remember something about somebody getting killed, but I don't know. I don't know.
Have you ever found an obituary?
Probably would say, or maybe it was Doc Smith that was on the train. I don't know.
Dad said that something about Doc Smith was married here, and a woman came from the east and said she claimed to be his wife. He was a bigamist.
That could be. That sounds about right. So the stories go. But anyway, this woman that he married, Gladys Smith, she lives here. City, or she's married to Brown, but I've never looked her up for some reason. I never have time, I guess. Don't think about it.
Now, Gladys was who?
They were, she had two daughters when she married Doc. She was, I think, from Virginia or somewhere, or some of those states there, and they were teenage girls when they were married, and then she had Gladys, and Freddie was the youngest. Last I ever heard of him, he was running a service station somewhere in the southern part of Oregon. But
did you ever hear get a hold of him?
Yes, he came to one of our sessions and brought pictures.
Okay, so he's Gladys' younger brother.
Gladys might have quite a few pictures.
She has shared, I think, some pictures.
Yes.
So I can just see this chapter. Maybe in the 30s?
Yes,
Doc Smith liked the ladies.
Because I know that after Doc died, she lived in a house that was between the street that goes the side of Rich's, or front of it, whatever you want to say, from Swick's house to east. And when we were living in the little white house, why, and she had a little house built and where it would be facing or towards the fire station. And to supplement her income, sometimes she'd make egg noodles, and the kids would go around and sell those packages.
Yeah. I see.
The dried egg, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I said, what else did she do? Something else that she would make, and then they'd go around and sell.
Well, didn't she live when she was married to Doc Smith? Lived in one of those houses down from...
She lived somewhere else. Now, I can't tell you, but I remember definitely of that.
Well, I remember
building
that
this little house.
That's a good picture of that.
Because down a little bit from the Maple Tops, or healed.
Oh, healed, yeah.
Then they were there. See, one time, the Thompsons, Helen Thompson's folks, lived over in Sutton, too, after Charlie Sagard went over first. He talked my grandfather into going over there. And, of course, Mother and my father, we moved. And then Thompson moved. And Helen had a brother. She wasn't born until they moved back to Tualatin. And she's the one that married Billy Marco, you know. And his child's name was Newton. And I think it was named after Newton Robinson. And now I can't tell you now, but she was relation to Robbins, Mrs. Heald. Forgot.
Now, Mrs. Heald was Helen Thompson's mother?
Yes. Yes.
Now, you're saying the Thompsons moved away.
Yes. Let's see, what was his name? Walter. Walter Thompson.
What happened to their place? Did they sell it? Hmm? What happened to their place in Tualatin when they moved away? Did they sell it?
That, no, I don't even remember where they were supposed to have lived. And I would say offhand, it probably was shortly after they were married. And I just don't, because see, we were already there, and that kid, it didn't make any difference to me.
There were two big houses there on the Thompson Place.
Could have been. Well, that one was Stone's. One, Blanche Thompson's house. East of the main Thompson house. That was built for his first name. Anyway, her name was Blanche Thompson. So I was named after her.
Oh!
She and my mother, and Lori Nyberg, and the Galbers and that went to school together, see. My middle name is Meredith, and there was a woman there named Meredith who was my mother's friend.
Now, Helen Thompson's, her mother was a healed.
Uh-huh.
Her father was...
That was her second marriage.
Oh, okay. Now, was Helen Thompson's father descended of the J.C.R. or J.R.C.
Yes.
Thompson?
He was a son.
See,
he was married twice. Ann Thompson and
Laura,
that was postman. They were of the first family.
Oh.
And then the Walter Thompson, and then there was a Thompson over to like you were going to Wilsonville. Was a fuller instead. Anyway, then there was the second family, and they was me, and married a junior, and it was Marge that married a Kaiser. He was a doctor, and no, he wasn't the doctor. She didn't marry the doctor. She married a Hofer. It was candy company. They moved to California. One between Blanche and Mame was the one that married Kaiser. And Ann Thompson, she was the school teacher when my mother went to the school. And
your mother went to school?
She graduated. See, when they graduated from the eighth grade in those years, Edwinder had 2 years of college.
Now, your mother would have graduated 8th grade, what year?
Well, I don't know. It should be 1906, probably, or in June there somewhere, because I was reading an old autograph book of hers that I was going to give to Drusella, and that was in 1903, I think it was, and Lotta was 12 years old and was writing her. Mm-hmm. And her teacher, Ann Thompson, was the teacher. And she later went into the school at handicap type of school. I forget the name of it. It's a well-known school in Portland. And I don't remember now if it was the hearing. It wasn't science, so it must have been the hearing school. It's well known, but I can't think of it now.
Now, would your mother have gone to school part of the years in that little red schoolhouse further up?
Yes.
And she would have lived, where did she live as a child then?
I think that's when they started first moving into San Galver's house on the riverbank, which is across the street from Palis. There used to be a farmhouse there, and they rented from. And the other, across the street, it was a house that people boarded across. They were going on south, and they could get room and meals at that house. It was right next to the bank. It'd be this South Tualatin River, where the bridge now is.
Right.
And across the street, it was a blacksmith.
Okay.
That was operating one.
Okay, but the house across the street that was a boarding house, you say, and that's where Janie Galbraith, we decided, lived.
No, she didn't live in that one, but she lived in the next one, Janie.
Were there two houses quite close together?
Yes.
Back to that again.
One where the apartments are now, and one right on the riverbank.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Then north of the riverbank
was
Sam Galbraith.
Yeah.
Oh, now, it could have been that they lived there, and then they built, because Janie was always living in there and everything, but I didn't remember.
And that house
across never was, the house was never finished.
Okay, well, I can remember a house, and you say you must have to do that was there until not too many years ago.
That was the Jeffcott house.
No, I mean the house north, across from Peerless.
Oh, Sam Galbraith's house.
Yeah.
That was a big old house, two-story.
But it was never finished, you say?
That one was finished, but the one Janie lived in, where the apartments now is, never was completed.
So your mother lived in the Galbraith house when she was a child?
I think so.
You know, that house across from Peerless, north of the river, the foundation is still there, that is, it was torn down just a few years ago.
Torn down.
Now, was that the original old house that the Galbraiths would have built?
Oh, I think so, because Sam was the owner of it at the time when I could remember.
Now, was there ever a house?
That's where I had the house that I was born in.
Well, you were born in that house.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, was there ever a house across the road where the Peerless is? Was there ever a house on that
side?
Oh,
there was a barn that belonged to the Galbraith house.
I see.
Wasn't any houses. Well, I don't remember too much about that part, because if we went to Durham to visit my granddad and family why we always walked the railroad track, the trestle.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because
sure.
It was shorter than going all the way around, you know.
Well, back to these houses on the river. So that does revive my memory then. So back to the, well, do you know what the Jeffcott house is?
Well, I think that was called. I think that was the Jeffcott house.
That's where the apartments are now. But you said there was another house right on the river?
There was a house right on the river. I don't know the name. If I ever heard it, it's gone.
Yeah.
Well, was that the boarding house that was right on
the
river?
Well, they never had a sign out as a boarding house. But people could get a room and their meal to stay overnight. Like that. It was...
It didn't have a name to it then?
Never had a name to it.
Didn't think to bring that picture.
But generally it was dark by the time they got from Portland to go on to Wilsonville or Salem or that.
Yeah. But that was separate from the Jeffcott house.
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
Because I remember the name later on, that Jeffcott house. Uh-huh. And this house, it was on the riverbank, across the street scene we're talking, from the horseshoe place. I was in it once, and I remember what took my eye was the beautiful wood wainscoting. I think it was mahogany. Now, since I compare woods, you know, it wasn't a slap bang that you find in a lot of the houses around Twelfth. Yeah. It was nice things in there.
Yeah.
And I remember the dining table was round, and what is antique furniture in the sense.
So it was furnished when you were
in it. So it was very nice. I never was in the bedroom or anything.
Now, when you were in it, was somebody living there, or was
somebody? Oh, yes.
There
was somebody
living there. Okay. And you don't remember the name.
Could that have been? No, it wouldn't have been the original Cummins store.
No, because that was on, they built on the west side of the road there.
Oh, next to the blacksmith?
Next to the blacksmith and stuff like that.
Okay. You don't remember Cummins store, the old one?
No, not there.
But somebody told you that's
right. I remember the Cummins store that was up by the railroad track.
But somebody told you that the original one was down there by the blacksmith shop.
Yes.
Okay. And now you say you remember seeing the blacksmith shop?
I remember seeing the blacksmith shop.
I see. And that was closer to the river?
Because they always had such a big, that was the livery stable too.
Uh-huh.
Because, see, drummers would come through on both railroads, and then they'd go down there and rent a horse and buggy to go out into their territory.
Drummers? Salesmen?
Salesmen.
Oh!
Drummers.
Oh my goodness.
I used to call them drummers.
Yeah, sure, drumming up sales. So they would come out on the railroad and then rent a horse and buggy. Oh my God, but that's a real vignette.
Yeah.
So horses would be available there for hire and buggies.
Yeah, they had the horse and buggies.
Oh my gosh.
And the door was always quite wide, like big old barn doors, you might say. And his porch was out on the one side of that door, because you could see it if you walked by, because it used to attract me to watch the sparks.
The forge was inside the building or outside?
No, it was still in the side, out of the rain.
Who was the blacksmith that you remember?
I don't know who the blacksmith.
Wouldn't been somebody by the name of Worth, would it?
I don't know.
Well, didn't old John Iverk have that work there? But I wonder who had the whole livery stable operation, but maybe that would have been the blacksmith that would have just had the horses and carriages.
Now, how many horse buggies they had at that time, I don't know that.
Well, now, do you remember the big horse barn that was part of John L. Smith's empire? There was, because he had a lot of horses that he used for his business, his operations.
For the mill.
For the mill.
Yeah.
And I've heard, and...
A horse wagon was a delivery from Newton's store, which is now Rich's, because that's why that one big thing on the end was to take hay and grain and stuff out, you know.
Horse-drawn wagon, of course.
And they would deliver them.
Yeah.
And
whose store? Was that Newt's store or Ed's?
That was Robinson's store at that time, and it was a brick store.
And that was Newt.
And he would deliver hay?
Oh, yes.
and
from baled hay.
Okay, from that store or from the feed store that was next to it?
No, that's before the feed store was there.
Well, the feed store I thought was... The original store on the corner was a wooden store with a tower.
Yes.
Then it was moved.
It could have been moved, and then the brick store.
Yeah, because I remember the feed store that was next to the brick store. That was there in the 30s.
Yes.
And you could back...
Because it was there when I moved back.
Uh-huh.
Was Kenny. What was Ruth's? No. Ruth Nyberg's husband.
Richards. Gene Richards?
No, wasn't
him. Elwood Dunmire.
No, then it.
Kim.
His name was Kenny. McGough. Funny, I can pretty near say it.
Not McLaughlin.
And he camps at the, was one of the owners of the feed store, later owner, I should say, because he worked for them. Well, anyway, doesn't make any difference. But, see, they used to run what was called commuter trains from Tualatin to Portland. Mm-hmm.
The Red Electric?
Besides the trains that went to Salem, at that time they just pour off just like any commuter train.
Yeah.
And then part of the freeway, is the old Oregon Electric roadbed. Part of 205 is especially into by Twilliger and that, see, that goes in. And the depot used to be down at the end of Jefferson Street.
Right.
And now they tore all that or used it for something else, and the SP the same way, and now they're going to make another transit with a new roadbed.
Yeah.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. They revived the Jefferson.
Just like they shouldn't have ever torn old Portland Hotel down.
That
could have been used for a museum or anything. But no, since automobiles couldn't make that circle.
Is that one of the problems? Old tight turn.
Well, let's see. What else can I confuse you
about? Did you know Orrin Thompson? Did you know Orrin?
Yes.
Thompson?
He's the one that lived in Malloy.
When you were a kid, who lived in the big Thompson houses? J.R.C.?
I don't know if any of the older ones are still living, but that's where, because Anne and Laura, they were old maids, they never married. And then there was Marge and Mame, and it was living there.
Who farmed the onions? Which one of the Thompsons farmed the onions? Grew the onions?
Well, before Walter moved over to Sifton, I think he was one. But I thought Orrin was the one that moved to Malloy.
Okay.
And now I'm not sure, but he and Walter would have been the only sons at that time that could have farmed it, though. So I don't know. Okay.
Getting back to Janie Galbraith, what do you know about her?
Well, she was a large woman and quite robust. She worked with the she had some connection with the Chamorro Indians or school.
In Salem?
And whether she was or not, I don't remember. I used to think that she was in the legislature or somewhere, lobbying or something like that. But she worked with bringing the Alaskan Indian down to the school at Chamorro.
Right.
Huh. That's a Shemawi school in Salem?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And she was
checked out about the.
She was quite masculine. Probably she wasn't gay in the sense that you think of gays now, but my grandmother's always mentioned that she was quite masculine. Mm. They never had any children. She was married to Sam Calvert, and he let her do anything and everything she wanted it. And I know she traveled back and forth to Salem. She was very friendly. She was very good with children because I enjoyed going visiting her, and she always had time to talk to you. And at that time, I remember one of the attractions for me to go to her house. She had a piano, and I always got cookies. But
you said she went back and forth to Salem on the car, so you mean on the railroad?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. She was a Graham, wasn't she?
I think so. I remember.
Do you remember a Twink Graham?
No.
Do you ever remember hearing about Graham's Ferry?
Yes.
Was there a ferry? A Graham's Ferry Road?
That I can't tell. Ferry at Wilsonville and Canby, I know. But they're supposed to be one with the Gulf Grand's Ferry.
We've got to find that on the VLM.
Yeah. Whether that was the same as Wilsonville Ferry, no, I don't know.
Two separate roads. So, yeah.
Or whether it was the third ferry. I don't know.
Of
course, Canby's is still going.
Right.
Makes a nice trip for picnic to go to Shampooey.
Do you remember anything about your teacher? You went just one year, or part of 1 year. So do you remember your teacher at all? Or what the classroom was like?
I did know her name, but I can't think of her name. I can't remember why. Three of us had to stay in that school. I think we done something we shouldn't have on the playground, but I can't remember why. But I remember we were going to be punished, and we had to sit at our desk. And as I looked out our window, my uncle was going up the fire escape, just laughing and beat the band because he knew why we had to stay there, because we had punished. And our punishment was that we had to put our hand down and then she hit it with the ruler. I remember it sounded hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I got a good swatting when I got home.
Yeah.
For being.
That's the old way.
That's right.
The old way. If you get trouble at school, you get it double at home. But now they don't do it that way. If you get trouble in school, the parent marched up there, you know, what is doing to my kid?
Yeah. Yes, I should say.
It's too bad. So the kid does it over again. It's reinforced.
I always, in school, always played hard, whatever we were doing. Of course, at that time, I used to play baseball with the boys. And of course, now they have play suits, jogging suits for children. We didn't. If we were playing, we had overalls.
Oh, did you? Did you wear
a denim shirt?
Yeah. Did you wear that to school?
No. I always wore a dress to school. I had long hair. I was always pulled tight. I told my mother, make it tight so I wouldn't have to have it done every day. And then braids and a great big pair of ribbons.
Oh! You just had braids hanging down?
No, I didn't have mine hanging down. They went in as a loop and then the hair ribbons on the end of that.
My mother did our hair that way too. Make the braid and then loop it up,
yeah.
Tie it.
Do it every every day, how often would it be done? Like,
well, generally every other day, because that same part of it could come out.
Now, if you wore dresses to school, did you have to be careful not to get your dresses dirty, or you couldn't play hard at school?
Well, I didn't take any extra precaution, but at that time, all of us kind of had a little pinafore over our regular dress.
I see.
Style. But I don't remember ever taking it off at any time. It'd be, of course, at that time, they didn't play much. That was later when I was in school. Basketball and baseball and stuff like that. It was before hopscotch and races and that type of
tag and pool.
And of course, they always had a little, well, I don't know what it actually was, but it might have been for the teachers. I remember one time, it was a horse and buggy, I can't remember whether they drove to school, you know. But anyway, it was at a roof, had two sides, or two ends enclosed, and then the front was open, and the back was open. The front was all open. Of course, that played the handy older and all that.
Now, you
didn't know to watch any types of sports that time.
Now, you mentioned the wooden sidewalks. The wooden sidewalk.
That was a wretched to the entrance of going to the entrance of the senior center. Because see, otherwise you would have gone down to the creek and then up.
Yeah.
And that bridge over.
Did it have handrails?
Yes.
Oh, I see. So there was like a witch's kitchen down to where the entrance to the park is now?
The far end. Down at the end of the, I say the road. Well, not quite really that far, because probably where the library first started in that house.
Okay,
not that far. Yes, because the distance down to the trestle was kind of deep.
Yeah. Now, what was the road? And the road itself?
Was it a bridge? Just like it's where it is at the present time.
So it was just.
The road was built up?
But it wasn't, yes. They put a
culverts. But it didn't have a culvert at that time?
Well, if it did, I didn't see it.
Did it go down to the creek bottom?
But
back
it, it was kind of filled in, so they must have had something, because it wasn't quite as high as it presently
is. It dipped a little bit, but not very down. But the nice wooden sidewalk that was straight across.
And it was even with the road. No, it was a little bit lower. And then they had another little entry into Boone's house that went to the big shop, and they had little gifts.
Who said about that in the Boone's house? That was, what all did they have there? Confectionery, did you see?
No, they never had a confectionery there. It was baked goods and a few little gifts.
Now, who?
Boone's ran.
Boone's ran. That was Boone's.
Now, my dad talked about it one time that there was a butcher shop there.
Well, I don't remember a butcher shop. Could have been seen when that was gone.
I think that he said that he had to leave a cow down there. And the woman who was a butcher.
Yeah, it could be, because when I came back, see, the butcher shop was on the other side of the store, the building that's going back.
Yeah, Hoxhurst. Do you remember
Hoxhurst?
Yes, Walter Hoxhurst.
I'll never forgive that woman. I tell you, it wasn't just me. She was ahead of the Red Cross of that section. And of course, I had to earn my money to support herself. And my mother only got a very small compensation. State compensation, because my father was killed in a industrialized, and my grandmother had no income at all. So I wanted to get on and work on the Red Cross sewing. And Mrs. Hoxhurst was the head of that section of the Red Cross. She wouldn't okay my name on the, because she says I was living with my mother. Well, I had the support in there. I wasn't getting donations from my mother because she couldn't afford it.
Gosh.
Well, I wasn't the only one that she'd done that for. Leonard Poe's mother, before she married Max, she lived on the farm and she churned butter and stuff like that, and she sold cream. But most of that was her folks as dairy products, not hers. But she would cash their checks because they couldn't come all that distance, you know. They lived way over on the side, but now the freeway, not far up. Well, almost the doctors.
Pennington.
Yeah, right.
That road that beyond Pennington that goes to there. See. And she wouldn't okay Eva's sewing going into work because she cashed big checks and all that. Now she knew that they were not, because they weren't made into Eva's name. Her folks had to endorse them.
So she figured you had an income and that Eva already had an income. My gosh.
And she done that same trick to quite a few people who were natives there. So I kind of purchased Eva. If I couldn't get bacon and stuff in grocery stores, I waited until we needed the time. Just never
darn. I don't say you want to bring that in. Generally, not him.
She wasn't like what she was supposed to be.
Yeah. Now, did he have two wives? She died of cancer.
I don't
know.
Might have heard of it.
Now, the Red Cross that she was in charge of handled the sale of products, or how did that work? That she denied, that she turned you down and turned down the Cincinnati. What was it that you wanted to do that she did not?
Well, she didn't have the sewing part of it. She just okayed that these people should be eligible for Red Cross sewing.
The Red Cross sewing, what would that be?
Oh, let's see, that must have been.
That Red Cross employment for
it was that's what all these South and North Dakota people Mondays and then moved out back in that time.
Yes.
It must have been the start of the First World War.
No, it was like in the '30s.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, that's too early for the Second World War, so it must have been.
Well, just the Depression generally.
Depression.
Well, now, what was it that the Red Cross, would they have paid you? Had you?
Yes. You would have got a small wage.
For sewing?
For sewing, making, at that time, was to make clothes for other destitute people.
I see.
Because these people that got on there, like Mondays and all of those, it was a windfall for them because they left the farm with nothing. They land them, not anything against them.
Sure.
But now, if I had been living alone, she wouldn't have had that as an excuse. But we couldn't afford to rent another house.
Sure. So these Lundys and the others, so they would do so much and then.
No, they would move in and get all the things, the free things that the Red Cross gave.
Yes. Okay. They would get sheets. Pillowcases, towels, food. They had food stamps in.
Yeah.
Same as
there's two different processes. What she denied you and was the employment, making the things, or getting the things that had been
What she denied me was so that I could go and make application to the Red Folks. I wasn't supposed to bypass her. She was to okay that I would be eligible.
I see. To receive those things.
To receive.
Oh, to receive them. I thought it was for employment.
It was, really, employment to the Red Cross. Then she would give me permission, or maybe she had some form that she filled out, and I'd take that to the Red Cross, and then if they had an opening, I could work for them in a small way.
So you weren't looking for free goods. You were looking for employment.
I was looking for
employment.
And
so you can see,
so was
the,
Eva.
See the resentment towards people that came in with nothing and got something free, when the people that were living here could not get employment.
Couldn't get work.
I can understand it very
clearly. So the Lundys and those, they didn't apply for the work itself,
no,
just for the things.
Because I know later on, while I still was on, I got work at Cecil. I quit working for Grace Robinson. And the boy that lived up the railroad track, I forget what their names were, was working for Grace Robinson. She needed another employee, so she took me. I had to cook her lunch and things like that. And these people came in with their vouchers, same as food stamps. And they'd buy their staples. And of course, they couldn't get money back. They had to get articles. And couldn't get tobacco. And of course, they didn't sell liquor there, but they couldn't get any tobacco in any shape or form. And then they would stand there at the counter, well, I'll take a can of this, and a can of this, that. And we knew darn well they never had it, which was nothing against them, but they had to spend everything.
And these are vouchers that
they got from the Red Cross free.
Oh, so this is before, this is not a government operation, this is just the Red Cross, which is private.
Remember, they was, at that time, was when they had, you've got gas tickets, you know, where to buy gas.
So that's the rationing coupon. That's in the war.
That's during the war.
Well, that was at that same time.
Oh, I see. So these are rations. Uh-huh. Ration coupons.
And so these food tickets, place of Red Cross taking all this up, dumping it in their house. They got the vouchers and make us go buy what they needed. But it had to be spent. I never had any money.